Well, if you have your Bibles, open them up to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to share some things with you that I've just recently learned. And it sure has helped me. Helped me to really appreciate my Lord more, and it has really helped me to understand spiritual truths. And so I want to share some of these things with you today. I won't keep you too long, but I thank God for the Apostle Paul. And I thank God for his ministry. He wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. Amen. And I'm so thankful for the apostles that laid the foundation. They were that former rain. And we're going to get back to it in the latter rain before we go home to be with the Lord. Don't you believe that? I do believe it. Already I'm beginning to see the latter rain in light of the former rain. And I thank God for him opening up the scriptures that he has opened up. But I thank God for all the dear apostles and prophets, not only of the past, but also the prophets and the apostles and the ministers today during our time frame. I thank God for them because they might not have had the total, complete understanding of the Word of God, but they had a part that was so important to my life. And with each part, it made me complete. You know what I mean? And so I'm so thankful for them, every one of them. I'm thankful for Kenneth Hagin. I'm so thankful for Oral Roberts. Just Reinhard Bonnke just passed away this week. When was it, Valerie? Yesterday he passed away. She had informed me, and he was a great man of God, Reinhard Bonnke. And there's some others today that are great ministers of the gospel. I like Creflo Dollar. I really do like him. He is a wonderful man of God, and I sure do like. you know, I'm speaking from my heart right now. The Potter's House. Boy, he was on TV the other day, and I was, well, it wasn't on TV, it was on that screen that that Sam was showing me about him preaching away, and man, I love him. He just knows how to take the Old Testament and put it into the New Testament and make it come alive, you know. I enjoy just listening to him. So we're really blessed people, you know. It's not like 30 or 40 years ago when I came into the kingdom of God, you didn't want to preach the faith message. You didn't even want to be caught with the Kenneth Hagin tape or you'd get flogged, you know. But I'm so thankful that the Word of God has free course today. You know, I'm not talking about other countries, but I'm talking about the United States. And people are more open to the truth of the gospel than they were 30, 40 years ago. Do you guys feel that? I do feel it. And so we're so fortunate to have the gospel preached with a lot more clarity than what we once had. And so I'm beginning to appreciate so many ministers that we do have today that is preaching the gospel. And matter of fact, Mike just went to the Dream Center and visited the Dream Center. Don Barnett, I think he's still the head of the Dream Center, or is it his son? Matthew Barnett. He's and that family has meant a lot to their city and their town because they linked up to helping as many people as they possibly can that are on the streets and things and bringing them in and trying to work with them and overcome addictions and things like that. You know, something I don't care what people say. I don't like people saying Everything is going down the tube. I don't see that with the kingdom of God. I see us reaching out and wanting to have more of the gospel exposed. Don't you guys? That's the kind of belief I want to have. I don't like negativeness when they sit there and say, oh my gosh, we're going down the tube. Things are coming to an end. No, this is where we're coming more alive. Hallelujah. Because the gospel is becoming clearer to our understanding. Don't you believe that? I believe that, man. I'm looking forward to even seeing more and getting more insight to the Word of God because it has done so much for me and my family. And I'm not saying that everyone benefits by it, but if they open their heart up, everyone could benefit by it, because that's the way Jesus has appeared, to take away the mystery of God by bringing him down in person through Jesus and revealing him to us. Man, what a gift. What a blessing. Hallelujah. But today I want to just share some things with you that I think will help you. I loved the faith message when I first heard it, although it didn't seem to work like I thought it would until I grew a little bit more in understanding. And once I grew a little bit more in understanding, then I began to realize how it does work. But I have learned something that if you haven't understood it, you might want to write this down. But in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus approached Jesus, do you know he approached him at night when nobody was around looking? Isn't that funny? Sometimes you just don't want to let everybody know you're associated with the man that has the answer. And Jesus finally told him, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. And Nicodemus, he said, well, how can a man be born again? He go back into his mother's womb and come out of it again? You know, really carnal thinking there. And he said, no, the new birth comes like the wind. You don't know where it's coming from. It just comes. And that's talking about the born again, when you were born again. When I was born again, I didn't have any experience whatsoever at first. Matter of fact, the first week I was saved, I even wondered if I was really saved, you know, because I didn't feel anything. I didn't see anything. I just heard somebody preach Jesus, and I said, okay, I'm going to get back into fellowship with them. And so I got back into fellowship with the Lord. And that's how simple it was. Until later on, My other brother, Bobby, he started preaching to me about the baptism of the Spirit. That was kind of like there in the book of Acts. We hadn't even heard that there'd be such thing as the Holy Ghost. Well, I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost, but I knew about born again. And so I was born again, but I didn't know if I was really born again or not. If that makes sense to you. Because I had no feeling. And so one day in my house, I sat there on my couch, and I said, Lord, if I'm truly saved, if I'm truly born again, send an angel to tell me whether I'm on the right track or not. Don't do that, because you might get the wrong angel. And so I went to bed that night, and an angel appeared, and I sat up in bed. And I knew it was an angel, and it had motion about him. He wasn't standing still, he had motion. Bright colors, beautiful. And he said, yes, Jan, you're on the right road. So he answered me in the way I understood it. And so I went and fell back asleep. I just laid back down and went to sleep. I didn't even remember it until the next day when I was working at the shop and forgot all about the visitation. And then it dawned on me, I had an angel visit me. Then it dawned on me that I asked for an angel. Well, God gave me one just to confirm I was saved. Well, that was great. And thank God that that's not where it stopped. Then I ended up getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And when I get to heaven, I want that young man that told me during the Jesus movement, that's how I come in, that sat on that picnic bench right by the fort there in the north end. And I walked up to him, and I wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit so bad, and I'll never forget when I said, "I understand you speak in tongues." And he says, "That's right." I said, "Well, what does it do for you?" Because I heard so many other negative things about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some get it and some don't. And they passed away. And I heard one say it was of the devil and stuff. But in me, I had a craving to really want to speak in other tongues. And I didn't know why. And so I looked at him, and he was a long-haired hippie-type guy just sitting on the bench there. And they were all gathered for this young girl to start preaching, and we were excited about it. And so I looked at him and I said, "Well, what is it? What is that really, you know, speaking in tongues?" And he looked at me and he said, "When you speak in tongues, you have a direct line to God." Oh my gosh, I gotta have it. I meant something was burning in my heart. I had to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I didn't care what other people said about it. If I had a way to a direct line to God, then I knew I was hooked up to the right Samsung. And I just couldn't wait to speak in other tongues. And so the story goes that I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And at the same time, Sue got filled with the Holy Ghost. And we were just excited and speaking in tongues. And sure enough, I'm at work one day. I was spraying a lot of these plastic signs at that time. And this voice said to me, "That's really not tongues. You think you're speaking in a language? You're not speaking a language. It's just made up gibberish. Did you feel anything?" "No." "Well then, what? See, one thing Satan wants you to do is always rely on your body to confirm what God said. He loves that because he knows that your body he has access to." And so I'll never forget it. I began to sink and I got depressed as further the day went along. And finally, I just said, that's it. And I went behind the shop there, and I stood there, and I just screamed out in tongues. Just praying in tongues violently. And I said, "Now, if you keep that up, devil, you and I'll have to go to my prayer closet again, and I'll start all over again." So then it began to lose its effect on me. But it wasn't until 5 years later that tongues really meant a lot to me, because I learned how to use them. Through the God put a call on my life, and I learned how to use the Holy Spirit and drawing the mind of God from Scripture. Thank God. Amen. Now, I had you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 because I want to bring some things to your attention that is so important. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able." So what Paul was saying is, I have more to offer you, I have more to give you, but you're not able to receive it right now. In other words, ching, it'd go right over your head. And notice what he says here. "For you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like men?" Actually, in the Greek, it's ordinary men. "For when one says, 'I am Paul,' and another, 'I am Apollos,' are you not carnal?" I just want to say something, and I want to say it very tenderly and graciously. Denominations is a sign of carnality. One will pit one denomination against another. People, I'm going to tell you, one denomination pitting it against another is not what God would want you to do. It's just that it's prone to men to denominationalize. But it's not up to us to judge denominations unless they are a cult. But there are godly people in many denominations. You know, I just want to declare that right now. But this spirit was trying to get into the church back when the church was starting. Because he said, one says, I am of Apollos, and one says, I'm of Paul. And Paul said, are you not carnal? Now, I want to share something. There are three planes that we as Christians live on. We live on three levels. First level was the natural man. This is where we were an unbeliever, and then we became a believer. And when we became a believer, we were carnal. Then the second level that man lives on is what we call the carnal man. The first one's the natural man. The second one is called the carnal man. And this is what we're going to show you in just a minute in this first verse. But he says the second level is the carnal man. His carnal mind is in more control than his spiritual mind. And then the third level is what we call the spiritual man. The spiritual man means his walk is dominating his soul through his spirit. In other words, when he's born again, he is developed in his spirit to where he can walk now according to his inward man and not his outward man. Now, one thing that many of us need to come to the realization of, and you might want to make a note of this, that when you are a spiritual being, Paul mentions that several times, especially in the book of Galatians. He says, he which is spiritual, restore him who has been found in a fault. In other words, where he's missed the mark. But he went on to say, nevertheless, he that's spiritual helps him. Still, we're all responsible for our own walk. Now, a walk of the Spirit, a lot of people don't understand what it means to walk in the Spirit, especially if you're a believer that's more dominated by your outward man than your inward man. This walk of the Spirit is so important because what it does, it brings a training to an outer man. And the walk of the Spirit, you might want to make a note of this, a walk of the Spirit is where you can go to your Bible and find specifically the thing that you have to conform to. In other words, the will of God is being revealed in Scripture, what you need to conform to. For an example, the one thing that you begin to learn when you get born again, and it's probably one of the hardest for all of us, is to take control of our tongue. Anybody have problems with that? Well, I have not arrived yet, have I, Sue? My wife will tell you, no, you haven't arrived yet. But that's the first thing that we take control of. And this is when your inward man has an effect on your outward man. Now, the Bible is very clear that the natural man does not profit anything. Nothing. It can't produce anything. So, what about the outward man? Has God got a place for the outward man? Absolutely. But let me clarify something. Here he says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual. This Greek word means, this word spiritual, is literally referring to one who is developed in his spirit, which has affected his character, which has affected his character. Where the second word for carnal is fleshly. And this is a different word. It means that you're made of flesh and your character is merely human. So Paul was saying, I would like to speak to you as spiritual beings, but I have to speak to you on a natural level. And this is where then the next step is carnality. This is where you're beginning to get some insight. But as you're beginning to get some insight, then there's a working going on in you for change. And that's why we have the dispensation of grace, is for transformation. Amen? And thank God we have been called for this time period. Praise God. But let's go on here. I want to show you something. He says, for you are still carnal, worldly. For where there is envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like men? Now, he's saying something is taking place in the church at Corinth. For one says, I am a Paul, and another, I am Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? As the Lord gave to each one. Now, watch this. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Actually, in the Greek it says, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. Amen. And this is kind of a horticulture thing. I guess that's a way to say it, horticulture, like plant life and stuff. And so with that thought in mind, real quick, like I want to quote from Genesis. You don't have to go there. But I want to quote from Genesis right directly after the fall, what happened. And I'm not going into complete detail on all this, but I want to just bring it to your attention so that it gives you some understanding of where you can begin whatever plane or level you're on with. Over in chapter 3 of Genesis, right after the fall, he turns to Satan, and he literally tells Satan that he inherited flesh. That's what he inherited, the flesh of men. And he said that I will put enmity between you and the woman. And this is what caught my attention. Watch this. And between your seed and her seed. And then he said, he shall crush, really in the Hebrew, it's crush your head. That literally means he will remove your authority. And he says, and you shall bruise his heel. That literally means to strike from behind. That's what a serpent will do. So when Jesus left this earth, resurrected up, then Satan came in with a different witness, and that was to speak against the person of Jesus. You follow me? Now, I want you to notice that there is the natural seed and there is a spiritual seed. You know, I heard professors, it's been quite a few years ago, I don't know if they still have their authority, but they deny the virgin birth. People, if you deny the virgin birth, then you're not saved. Because you have to be born again. And what does being born again really mean? It literally means, are you ready for this? That God has to come down and plant his seed in your inner man. Now I'm going to tell you what this seed means. The seed is always referring to a nature. A nature. Now, it's very interesting, when I looked up the meaning to nature, all I ever got is what nature is described as. For an example, character is referring to nature. This is the nature of sin. And so they would list the characteristics of sin. And then in Galatians chapter 5, it talked about the nature of God, and it lists the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. And it is not referring to the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's referring to the fruit of your human spirit that was born again. And that's why many of us don't, we're not thinking like Nicodemus, but really, if we don't understand what born again means, then it will confuse a lot of people, which confuses a lot of unsaved people. How can you get born again? Because they're thinking like Nicodemus. What do I got to do, crawl back into my mama's womb? Matter of fact, you know, there are a lot of sinners out there that are atheists and agnostics, because they cannot comprehend how God would come and manifest itself in the flesh. Matter of fact, did you know, I didn't know this until I did a study on the Gnostics of their day. Gnostics mean those who prided themselves in knowledge. And they were the ones that gave the apostles the hardest time ever, because they did not know God from a spiritual standpoint. Did you know that all the apostles only knew God after the flesh, until Paul came and discovered Christ after the Spirit? He saw the person of Christ beneath the physical man. Did you guys know that? That's why Paul's ministry was so valuable, because Paul's ministry unlocked the mystery of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, more than any other minister. Now, today, I was just talking with John today. I'm struggling to find words that will help people really begin to define what born again, how it works, how it processes itself, how it comes about. And I have just recently found that out for myself. Here's what a nature is, and I'm not referring to the characteristics of it. I'm going to refer to the nature itself. The nature of self in seed form has within it laws and forces. Laws and forces in seed form deposited in your inner man. And it takes water to be applied to the seed to make it take root and come alive. Can you all understand that? Now, here's the neat part about it. The seed came from the sun. And because you were born again, you now have the life and nature of God in you, but it's in your spirit. Matter of fact, Peter clearly defines the fact that the temple of God is in your spirit, not your body. It's in your spirit. And how do you water that seed to make it take root and grow? Here's how you do it. You simply get into the Word of God and you wash yourself in it. You continually meditate on it, roll it over in your mind. And that's what we call the washing of the water of the Word. Going over that seed. And guess what? You cannot grow spiritually unless you get into the Word of God and you see it from a different plane altogether. But you ain't going to start out that way. You're only going to see it from the natural to begin with. Then it goes to changing taking place. Then it goes to where you are really motivated spiritually. And that's where the verses come in. It says, you are no longer in the flesh, but in the spirit. And the first time I read those verses in Romans 7 and Romans 8, I said, what do you mean I'm not in the flesh? I certainly am. That was my natural carnal thinking. And it finally dawned on me that when you begin to understand the Word of God and what it's saying there, thank God for the Holy Ghost, then you begin to realize, oh my gosh, now I understand why I am no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Why? Because God did something with my outer man. What did he do with my outer man? I'm still walking around in it. He declared it crucified.
Amen. Amen. Yep.
What does that mean? It means now you have to humble yourself and let the Word of God go through your outer man and water your spirit, your inner man. And you know, a lot of Christians, they get born again, they get saved, and they lose interest in God, and they fall away, and they know that they're just dry inside, and they don't know what to do about it. Well, they quit pressing in on God. They quit seeking the Lord. They quit looking to do something with that seed that is on the inside of them called the life of God. You got what I'm saying? And I want to tell you something, people. It's not easy. It is not easy to get your mind separated. One applies to the outer, and the other applies to the inner. And it's hard to distinguish them two. You ever heard of a schizophrenia? It's kind of like that. Matter of fact, there was a psychologist one time that was giving a lecture on psychology, and he went into the subject of Jesus being schizo. He has no idea of what he is as a spirit being. He only sees himself as a physical man. But you have what you call the mind of the spirit. And where does the mind of the spirit found? You know what? Did you know that once you're a cadaver laying on a table, do you know they can cut your head open and pull out a physical brain? You know what that's called? The mind of the senses. Thank God we have a physical brain. Because if we didn't have a physical brain, we'd be brainless and we couldn't communicate with this world. Are you following me? And so God constructed a physical brain, and before the fall, that brain was not stained by any knowledge in it to speak against the knowledge of God. When God spoke to Adam and Eve, they didn't have a problem receiving what God said. But when God told them not to touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, don't do that, because in the day you do that, dying, thou shalt die. Muth, muth. It means you'll not only die physically, but eventually you'll die spiritually. Now, here's the real kicker here. It said, one plants, one waters, but God has to give the increase. You got that? How is God going to give an increase in you? Well, you got to take that seed and you've got to water it. You've got to water it. You know what? I like what Rick Renner said in one of his books. He said, someone who says they go out in the atmosphere and gain revelation and comes back in and said, I have a revelation from God, are people who have literally, basically lost their mind. Because when I seek out the mind of God, I do not seek it out by going out into this spiritual realm. Oh, God, give me a vision. Speak a word to me. You know, any voice can come to your head. And what God told me one day, he says, stop that. He says, when you go out into the spiritual realm, he says, what you do is you take your Bible with you. Hey, that's a good idea. Take your Bible with you. And when you take your Bible with you and you go out in the spiritual realm, open your Bible up and study on a specific subject in it. And then go out into the spiritual realm with that subject in your Bible. Hello. Did you know that I was reading a book, and this dear friend of mine, what he was saying was right on, but he did not know the new birth, the concept of the new birth. Did you know that if you have the Holy Spirit residing, called alongside your inner man, he can't speak on his own initiative? What he has to do is he has to hear either from God or he has to hear from you. Otherwise, he does not speak on his own initiative. And there are Christians that are saying today, thank God I got the Holy Spirit in me, because if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't know how to be led. The Holy Spirit doesn't lead you by just talking to you inwardly. The Holy Spirit leads you by you getting knowledge what's written in the Word, and he leads you in line with that Word that is already written. That's why you got to stick to your Bible. You can't stick to your vain imaginations. You have to stick with the Bible. And if somebody comes up with a vain imagination, you have to take their vain imagination and make sure it lines up with the Word of God before you can confirm it. So just because you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues does not necessarily mean you have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ has to be developed in you. And it's not the mind of the Holy Spirit. It's the mind of Christ has to be developed in you. That's why it's called the Christ-like spirit that's in you. Meaning you have the same, you don't have Christ's spirit, but you have the same thing that Christ had. A spirit that was born of God. That's why your spirit cries out, Abba, Father! Because when you get born again, you're born of God. Not by the will of flesh, nor the blood of mankind, but you're born of the Spirit. Wouldn't it have been nice if you got born again, and all of a sudden, all your hair that you lost grew back on your head, and then your stomach shrunk, and you look like, what do you call them, boy and girl dolls? Huh? Ken and Darby. No, not Ken and Darby. Ken and Barbie. Handsome. You look just like when you were 16 years old or 19, you know, around there, where you look at those pictures. Oh, those are, and then you look at the present one and forget them. No, you're still the same. But I like the thought that the Bible's clear that your inward man doesn't get old, so he must look good. Amen. Every once in a while, when I get into the spirit realm, I notice I can't see clearly, and then this thought comes to me, I got to get my spiritual hair out of my eyes. That's my imagination. But this is what I want to get across to you real quick, like. When he said God gives the increase, it means that the life that he has planted in you, God is the only one that will give an increase to it through his word. You have to pour it over you, and it will cause that life to come forth. And it comes forth out of your spirit. Now, I'd like to go into more detail than that. But people, I'm going to tell you, if you're born again, God knows you after your spirit. He knows you after the flesh. But the value that God has in you is spiritual. And we as his people have to learn what we are in him in order to bear fruit to God. Because you can't bear fruit to God in the natural. You know what? Your natural ground, your physical body, people don't realize it's not your physical body that's the problem. It's the seed of Satan, the nature of him in the body. And I'd like it to disappear. Wouldn't you have liked it to just disappear? No more lusting after things, no more problems with anything. Everything is just smooth and nice. It don't work that way. Believe me, you have to learn how to put it down. You have to learn to gain control of it. And the only way you're going to gain control of your outward man is your inward man has to have the fruit of self-control take over. And God is the only one that can make that fruit bear. And guess where the fruit shows? It shows up in your outward man. Now today there's a teaching that really transformation starts from the outward man. But the inner man, all he does is get you into heaven. People, when you have that kind of thinking in your mind, then you have to come to the conclusion what God does is He renews your outward man. Your outward man's mind, and God does not do that. What He does with your outward mind is He grows the kingdom of God in your spiritual mind, and then your spiritual mind has received the light instantly. The minute your spiritual mind receives the light instantly, your natural way of thinking is demoted. They come together. They don't come separate. They come together. So when I get revelation come alive on the inside of me, instantly my outward man is aware of it. Are you following me? They don't think apart from each other until identity is placed in them. And how does identity really place? What is the spiritual difference between the spiritual mind and the physical mind? It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He comes in and He separates it and gives your spirit man, who only knew what your natural man knew, its own identity. Woo! I know what I'm talking about because I have done more learning and growing in that area, studying how things are going to come to an end. You have to have the mind of God to interpret the outcome of everything. How many of you would agree to that? And so you have to have that concept within your thinking. You have to learn what it means to be spiritual from your natural. Because the scriptures are very clear, and I'm going to close with this. The scriptures are very clear, and you and I and all of us together have to deal with these scriptures. Are you ready? Romans 5:12 said sin, the nature of sin, came into the world through the first Adam. Romans 6:12 says, let not sin reign in your mortal body to make you obey the lusts of it. 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep my body under, but I treat severely the body of me and lead it as a slave. Romans 7:5, for when we were in the flesh, Romans 8:9, you are not in flesh, you are in spirit. Romans 8:10, your bodies are dead because of sin. The spirit is life because of righteousness. Romans 8:12, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Romans 8:13, the practices of the body you put to death. Colossians 3:9, having put off the old man with the practices of him. Colossians 3:1 through 10, putting off the body of flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:1 through 8, Philippians 1, 21 through 24, and 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. Powerful. And these scriptures are literally confirming to you and me that you and your body are not the same as what you are spiritually. Did you guys get something here today? You know what the real test of life is? When you're a single person and you look and see a beautiful woman, you go, hubba, bubba, bubba. I guarantee you, you're not thinking spiritually. You are thinking fleshly. And that's okay. I still think that way about Sue. She's my precious little dream. Sometimes my natural man wants to take over, but I just look into her big baby blues and I melt. Can't live without you, honey. You became too much a part of me. Especially those last pictures that we looked at. We're starting to look more alike. Well, I hope what I shared with you helped you a little bit. Because the thing that I want you to start thinking of is tripart. You're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in the body. So important to understand that. You can go into scriptures and find that. 1 Thessalonians 5:20, 5:23, is it? Good place to start. But anyway, it is so important, people, for you to understand what you are spiritually. And John was talking about writing a book on born again. I think we need to do it. So with that said, we'll go ahead and stand up, everybody. Praise God. Hallelujah. You want John to type up all these scriptures for you? Poor John. That's all right. I'm paying him. You can go ahead and type them out. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, I thank you so much for Jesus coming into my heart and life. I thank you so much for the tremendous insight that you're giving us as we walk the road of time with you here on earth. Father, I thank you so much for your wonderful people that have come to hear the Word of God. And I pray that everyone leaves here today with good thoughts in their thinking. That how much you love and appreciate them, and how much you've reserved this time, not of judgment, but of the opportunity to receive you in your love. Your nature is love, and I thank you for planting that seed in my heart. And I thank you that your word can cause it to grow in me. Not natural love, but spiritual love. It's so different. Father, I thank you that divine love came back to earth to dwell in men who possess human love. Because divine love puts perimeters around human love. And so, Father, today, if there'd be anybody here that has never reached out and said the sinner's prayer and would like to give their heart to you today, we would love to pray with them and God bring them into the kingdom. And if there's any believers here that can say, I've grown cold over the years and I want to restore my walk with you, Lord, I'll tell you what, he can put a fire in you that is unquenchable. Hallelujah. If you just give him a chance. And if you're in pain, then he's a pain taker. Hallelujah. So with that said, if you want to step out, come down forward, front, and we'd be glad to pray with you. Anyone? Praise God. Praise God. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Praise God. Judah Bear. You little guy. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Now's the time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saints, pray with me. Hallelujah. Father, as I go by and lay hands on these precious people, Father, I thank you for the transfer of the anointing. But I thank you that it comes from you. All as I can do is be free to release the anointing. You guys ready to go home? Okay, you spirits. Father, may they all be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.